Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I guess it's time. We're first going to have, in this session, it's a two-hour session, and we're going to have a tutorial by Steve Drekic and myself on the use of symbolic manipulation in cueing. Now, symbolic manipulation is used in mathematics to eliminate some of the tedious work of algebraic manipulation and computations that we often have done by hand. So it's a computational and analytical tool, but we're going to concentrate, both Steve and I, on the analytical side. And the next thing is that it's used in many different mathematical settings, and our talk is going to only emphasize one setting, that is the setting of cueing applications. And okay, can I screen down? Yeah, okay. And it was in that application we're going to concentrate on dealing with moments of various cueing related quantities of interest. Therefore, the talk is not at all going to be exhaustive, and it's going to be a live talk. In other words, we're actually going to use two symbolic manipulation languages. Steve will use Mathematica, and I'm going to use Maple. And now, I know that many of you have probably used one or the other, Maple or Mathematica, and we'll have various specific ideas of how to use it and where to use it and what applications it does. So what we want to do is we want to encourage feedback specific to our presentations. If there's something within that specific area that we're doing at that moment and you have something to add, please do so. If it's something about some other method or some other application, we're going to leave room at the end for the input from the audience. Now, so we're going to leave some room at the end, hopefully about 10 minutes. Now, Steve is going to keep me strictly to a time limit, and just as I kept everybody else, so that's the way it's going to go. Okay, so part one is by myself, and it's rather a naive approach, and I'm going to be using only the interactive component of symbolic manipulation or of Maple, and rather than the procedural or programming aspect. Steve, who's much more sophisticated in the use of these systems, will be showing programming concepts and applying them. Okay, what area am I going to look at? Well, what I'm going to look at is Laplace transforms and binomial random variables in part one. I have three parts to the talk. And Laplace transforms, binomial random variables, and getting the moments of the binomial distribution through these methodologies. I'm going to introduce some very simple interactive commands, some of which are here, and I'll come back to it when we finish. So what I want to do now, hopefully, is go to Maple and bring up this thing. How do I do it? Okay, there we go. Okay, so why don't we take it to the beginning? Okay, the first thing I'm going to do is go to Edit and remove all the output from the sheet. Okay, so the sheet is already prepared, and I have inputted all the mathematical definitions that I want. Okay, so what I'm doing part 1-1. And I want to obtain the moments of a binomial that's here. So this is here. I want to obtain the binomial moments using Laplace-Dilge's transforms. I'm going to use just Laplace transforms from now on, so I won't slip over the second name. Okay, the first thing we're going to do is find the Laplace transform of a Bernoulli random variable x with parameter p. That's going to be inputted and named. And, of course, the Bernoulli law is x equal 1 with probability p, x is equal to 0 with 1 minus p, and it has a very, and a Laplace transform is defined as the expectation of a function of that specific function of x, of the random variable. Okay, so we're going to go down, and I'm at this point here. So what I'm going to do is write out this average, okay? I'm writing out that average, and what it is it's a p times the function, this function at x equal 1. So that's what I've written there, plus 1 minus p times this function at 0. So I write it down, and now I've got the proper average. And what I'm going to do now, so that's, I'm going to execute that statement. So I execute it, and I get this result. And notice that it's in a mathematical form now, in a nice mathematical form. And this is more a programming kind of form. And this is what we would normally write by hand. Okay, now what I've done here is I've taken this and I've rearranged it, okay? I've rearranged it and I've inputted it by hand. So there it is. I've rearranged it like this, but I've inputted it by hand. And I've done that on purpose because what I want to do is I want to show one of the first commands is verify. When I was doing the work on the papers that I've been working with Myron Halinka, we discovered how important this verify command is, especially if you input anything by hand. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to, let me move that up a bit. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take the Bernoulli that we, Laplace transform up here, I'm calling the long form, and I'm taking the one that's rearranged, and I'm going to compare them. So I say verify the Bernoulli longhand, the Bernoulli that I put in by hand, and I'm going to ask, are they equal? Okay, and I got to put it back up here like that, and now I ask if they're equal. And it says true. Okay, since this is an interactive talk, I can take this off. What did I do? I didn't move it up. Let's see. There it goes. That's what I wanted to do. And now backspace. Okay, so I backspace, and I get a different function, okay? And now what I'm going to do is get that one, and now I'm going to do the verify, and it comes out fail, all right? So in other words, I can immediately see if I don't have a right answer. And of course, since very few mathematical formulas are exactly the same, most of the time it will fail. So if it comes out true, most likely it's true. Okay, so what I'll do is I bring this back up. Let me see. I'll bring it back up, and what was there? Where is it now? There. Okay, and we'll do it again. We'll go down, and it should come out true. Okay, which it did, luckily. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to get the Laplace transform of the binomial random variable, and we're going to call it y, and it has parameters n and p. And we're going to input it, okay? And so what we're doing is we're going to take the Bernoulli Laplace transform and raise it to the power n. Okay, once we've raised it to the power n, we now have it, and we're going to enter it. And this is now the Laplace transform of the binomial that we can use. And it resides in this variable, okay, or in that symbol, as it's connected to that symbol. Okay, now what we want to do is we want the moments. And the moments are so easy to get. What we're going to do is use Taylor's expansion. We're going to do it in two different methods. One is Taylor's expansion, and the other is taking derivatives. So there's a function. Again, I'll go up, and then I have to go back up because they're also... Okay, right here is is something that does Taylor's expansion on a function over the range of the power of this thing here going from 0 to 0 to 3, which means it'll give us really three terms and one term, which is the remainder of everything. And so I'm going to put that in. And here we have it. We have the Taylor expansion up to the third term, with the last term collecting everything else. Now, obviously, these are shown to be the moments, okay, in some way. We have to adjust them a little bit, but those are basically the moments. Okay, what I want to show is that this is actually live again, and we don't need to only take the get two moments. We could get as many as we like, so I'll backspace and put in there five. Okay, and what will happen is, what should happen is, I get a whole bunch of coefficients very easily. So I'm going to be able very quickly to get many, many different moments. Now let's put it back, because what we want is only the two moments. That's three. Okay, so we're back to where we were. Let me see. There we go. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, so now what we're going to do is, we want to actually pick out the individual moment. So we want the mean, and it resides here, but it's got a minus sign in it because of the expansion with a power of minus. So what we get then is, we take out and use another operator or command in, let me put that up again so that it's higher on the screen. And again, I have to go up with this. Okay, so here is the command called coefficient, and what it's operating on is a polynomial in, and that polynomial happens to be an S. So we're going to say it's an S because it's possible that this is a polynomial of multiple variables. So we have to tell it which variable it's the polynomial in. And what I want to do is take the coefficient from S to the power, whatever it is there. So there's a power 1. And that should give me, and then I've multiplied through by minus 1 to get rid of that minus sign. And there I have it. I now have very quickly the mean. Okay, now I can get the second moment in exactly the same way, very easily, by using the same operator here. But I have to multiply by 2 factorial, because in the expansion I divided by 2 factorial. And I've just shown that I have to multiply here by plus 1. In other words, they alternate in sign. Okay, so here we have it. And this happens to be the second moment. Okay, what I want much of the time is the variance instead. So what I'll do is, I'll get, how am I doing? Okay, I'm doing okay. Okay, so what I want is the variance. Okay, so this is the variance. The variance is equal to the second moment minus the square of the first. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to enter that, and there it is. Okay, it doesn't look too pleasing yet, because it's not in the form that we're usually usually like to see. So the first, I'll use another function called simplify. The this symbol here, the percent sign, just says take whatever the last result is, and the last result is this thing here, and do something on it. So I'm going to simplify, and I get this, but it's not quite what I want because it's factorable. And so what I'm going to do now is take this thing and factor it. So bango. And now, I'm going to put that up a little bit on the screen. Now what we have is, we have the actual variance. Okay, there is one problem, and I don't know how to get rid of it yet. Pardon? Automatically. Maybe some of you do, but you'd have to multiply through by minus 1 twice to get the actual result neatly as p times 1 minus p times n. But
that's just an internal mechanism of
Naples. Yeah. Yeah.
There are ways of getting around it by making some user type definitions to me.
Yeah. Now, this is there are two books that I found very, very useful, and I'm going to bring them up now because of the comment that was just made. And people should come here and look if they don't use any of these systems and don't have these books. One is a Maple 5 Primer by Frank Garvin, and it's just an excellent reference guide for Maple. It still works for a higher level. They being fairly consistent in the language, which is really neat. And the other book that I found extremely useful is called Introduction to Maple by Andre Heck. Andre Heck. And a very useful book, because in this book he goes into these kinds of problems, the problems that you have that you might need to get around. It's just that I'm not sophisticated enough yet. But he talks about how Maple stores these things that you have, and it's stored in a certain kind of data structure. And the data structure that it's stored in first is the one that it keeps. And if you try to change it, you can't change it unless you delete that whole function and start again in another form. So you go crazy because sometimes you can't manipulate it because of the fact that it's in a certain data structure. So it's very important to understand how to put it in the proper form. I'm still learning about that kind of facility. Okay, I'm going to skip the next part because that was just some tests, and I'm going to the second method. Okay, the second method is taking derivatives. And so what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take derivative of this of the Laplace transform of the binomial with respect to S, and I'm going to call that derivative 1. And so here I go, and bango, here it is. There it is. And now I need to do it, but I need to set S equal to 0. So what I'm going to do is set S equal to 0 and see what happens. And what I'm essentially doing is setting a symbol equal to 0. Okay? So I'm taking the symbol S that was in here, and I'm making it 0. Okay, so then I do that, and then I take the derivative. I have to multiply through by minus 1 because a minus comes out here, and I get my appropriate mean. Okay, now let's see what happens. Bango, I do derivative, and I'm hoping to get this thing, but I don't get it back. And the reason I don't get it back is because the symbol S is already being set to 0. And it doesn't know that it's a variable anymore. Okay, it thinks it's a constant, 0. Okay, so what I'm going to do to get rid of that, I'm going to set S. I'm going to unassign it. So unassigning in Maple, and it'll probably be different in Mathematica, is to take the symbol, and I have to put it in these kinds of quotes, because that's the way computer scientists think of symbols. And so I'm going to unassign it, and once I do that, it's no longer 0. It doesn't show that, though. I'd have to print it this by just saying S, but I'll be more emphatic and get back my my derivative. Okay, I could have done this in another way. I could do it using a substitute command. And if I use a substitute command, what I'm doing is I'm doing a temporary substitution. I'm not changing the symbol. I'm just creating a substitution for the moment. Okay? So what I'm going to do is, so I'm using the fan sub, and here I have it. Here I have the result. Uh-oh, it's not quite what I wanted, right? I wanted this. So I have to simplify. So here I go. I simplify. How'd that get up there? Oh, anyway. Okay, and there it is. Okay, that's my mean taking derivatives. And now I do the rest. This is the second derivative automatically. And now what I'm going to do is I'm going to substitute. I'm going to get S equals 0 in the second derivative. I then get that and then do my... get my variance, because that's what I wanted. I simplify, and there it is. That's my okay. So that's my first pass over the material, And what I so what I've done now so far, where has it gone to? Oh, there. Okay, so what we've now covered is a whole bunch of different things. We've talked about expressions and algebraic assignment. We've talked about the function exp. We've used verify. We've used Taylor. We've used coefficient. We've used simplify, factor, differential, unassigned, and substitute. So we've gone through in one little fast pass over a whole host of very, very useful functions in Maple. So that's the that's the end of the first part of the talk. I think I still have some time, right? Okay. So what I'm okay. Do I want to go here yet? No, not yet. Okay. So I want to go to my second sheet, and I've separated things on the separate sheets because if you're not careful with Maple and you get your sheets too big, you can run into problems if you start to make changes, because something that you did way up at the top of the sheet can affect something further down. So normally, especially in a talk like this, I don't want too much to go wrong. Okay, so now I've got it, and I'm going to look at the second part. And the second part is I'm going to take an application that Myron and I did, and we presented at this conference many times, a batch scheduling problem. And we're going to look at, I'm going to explain what this is. We're going to look at the no expert case, or the random case of it, and we're going to find the moments of the total flow time. And so we're going to be looking at moments. Now, does it show in this? Where am I? Okay, I'm in. I always have to figure out where I am. I'm in Maple, and I want to go back to. Okay, here we go. Now I'm going to come down here. Okay, so now I want to get full screen. So I got to go here to view. Let me get my full screen. Oh, most of it's on here. Okay. Okay, so what we have here is the problem that Myron and I were doing. We have a batch of N jobs. They're chosen at random. Excuse me. They're chosen at random. And what we want to do is we want to schedule these jobs. And we have the service time as being either A or B with probability P or 1 minus P, where A is less than B. So there's a short time and a long time. And A is the short time, B is the long time. And what we're going to do is we're going to have an expert do some estimates. Okay, what the expert did was he estimated, and this is the jobs coming along in the order that he saw them. So he saw this one first. He says it's an A. He says this guy's an A. He says that guy's a B. He says that guy's an A, and that's a B. So he's looked at five. And we're going to assume that this N is five. And what we're going to do is reorder them so that they're now presented to the server as the three shortest ones first, and the two longest ones last. Now, we're going to call this the shortest estimated time first rule, very close to the shortest processing rule as given by Conway, Maxwell, Miller in their material. But we're actually going to use an expert with estimates, and really the idea is to use Bayesian estimates, but that's not what I want to show here. Okay, so I want to get I want to go on. And the random, oops, I went too far. The random case is so well known in the literature, and it's it's here. So what we're going to do is we're going to find the total flow time. And the total flow time here is going to be called WR. It's the random variable. And it's equal to this. Each guy gets some function of the service time as his waiting time. So the first guy gets his own service time as his waiting time. The second guy gets his service time plus the guy before him. And the last person in line gets everybody's service time as his total wait. And then what we'll do is we rearrange them because some of them are very dependent on one another. They're the same. So we got NX1s, N-1X2, and so on down the line. So this is a well-known result. But what we want to do is use this result to get to show stuff in Maple. Okay, so now we're going to go out of here, and the random case is simply that we're not making any estimates. We're just leaving them as a random variable. Okay, so what we're going to do is go here, go to our sheet, wherever it is. Which sheet is which? Is that the right one? No, that's the one I was just working on. So, I think. Yeah, that's A. Let me close it. Save it? No, I don't care. But where's the other one? Come on up. Did it go? Oh, there you are. Okay, so this is our sheet, and what we want to do is we want to obtain the Laplace transform of the waiting time in the random no expert case. Okay, forget that. Forget the second line. Development of the Laplace transform, starting with the Bernoulli and then building up. So what we have here is the Laplace transform of the simple Bernoulli with A and B having P and 1 minus P as their respective probabilities. And the other thing that we have in here, which is different, is that we've put an index in here to represent the coefficient at the front of each of the individual variables in that sum. The sum was n x1 plus n minus 1 x2, etc., down to 1 xn. So that's what we wanted to represent here. And then what we could do is we could take and use a function in Maple called the product to on xpi at summing over I equal 1 to n. And what I should have done, and let's do it now, is I should have removed the output so you can see that I'm actually live, and so that this is a live experiment. Okay, so here we go. We get that was inputted. This thing was input, but I inputted that. But this is calculated, and there it is. That's it. Okay, now what we can do is we can take the Taylor expansion in the same way we did before because we already dealt with that. So here comes the Taylor expansion. Woo! And looks pretty bad right now. Okay, and then what we're going to do, I'll go up again. And there must be a better way of doing this, but never mind. This seems to be working. Now what we're going to do is we're going to do the same thing as before, right? To get the mean, we're going to do the same relationship, minus 1 times the coefficient command on a polynomial, and there we get it. That's it, but it's still not very good looking. And now what we're going to do is we're going to factor it, and that's what we get. Okay, and essentially what this really is 1 over 2 n times n plus 1 times the expectation of the original random variable. That's all that is. But it's in the appropriate form. Now what we'll do is we'll get the calculation of the calculation of the variance. Oh, that's no good. Okay, so we'll get the calculation of the variance. It looks pretty mean. We'll factor it to see what happens. It still looks awful. And now what we'll do is we'll that was the square. So that was the second moment. And now I'm getting the variance, and that doesn't look too good. And now we'll do this, and there it is. That's actually the result. How are we doing? Have I got one more thing, or should I end it? Pardon? I think probably I'm at a half hour. Okay. Any questions at this up to this point? No.